This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, episode 22 for Wednesday, June 12th, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. Filling in for Mindy, I'm Caitlin Lucan.
And I'm Brian Fitzgerald. Welcome to the Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place that it is. Summer is a time when we take a breath from the completion of a great school year and a time when we prepare for the new year that's just weeks away. Today, we're checking in on some preparation as school instruments get their summer adjustments. And while Mindy and her family are in Minnesota for some well-earned vacation, we are very fortunate to have you, Caitlin, with us today. You visited a couple times before, and we've heard many of your awesome stories. I loved the one a couple weeks ago where you had the fifth graders, the eighth graders, and the 12th graders talking to like the incoming elementary, middle, and high schoolers about what was in store for them.
That's one of my favorites too. You know, anytime we can go out to the schools and talk to kids and teachers, it's a blast, but that one was especially fun. I just love to see how earnest these fifth graders are and their very serious, world-weary advice for me. It's just a lot of fun.
I loved as we went through those how the younger kids were focused on relationships and fun, and the older kids were on classwork and worried about succeeding in what came next.
Yeah, there's a really interesting kind of back and forth where some of the younger kids are worried about more mature things than you would think for the age, and some of the middle schoolers are kind of, you know, they're having the opposite problem of, in some ways, they seem younger than their age. It's just fascinating to see the range.
What's another story or another instance when you were out, because you've been so good at these things where you're talking to students and you're just putting somebody right there inside the classroom or in the hallway. What's a thing that really sticks out in your mind?
I'm really excited about this episode. So we're going to talk kind of about the strings program at Lincoln Public Schools, which I'm actually a product of. So it was so fun for me to go talk to these music teachers and kind of geek out about instruments and taking care of them, and to see so many instruments in one place.
Well, today we're going to get to focus on that, and also we'll take a quick walk here through the LPS website, at least on the front page. A lot of times people are like, oh, you know, you guys must really get to take it easy in the summer.
Not the case.
Oh my gosh, things are just cranking around here during the summer. Just because it's going on today, the PBIS conference, which as soon as I say PBIS, now the question is, what does PBIS stand for?
Pop quiz.
I'm gonna cheat.
Positive
behavioral interventions and supports.
I did cheat.
There it is. but they are doing this fantastic summer conference. This is their second year, I think, over at Southwest High School. Tons of people. Jason Keyes was over there to do a story and get some photographs this morning. I think he said over 700 people there today.
Wow.
And they've essentially outgrown Southwest High School, which...
That's a task.
It is a task. So I think he said they're going to be over at the Cornhusker next year. So really great turnout for people. And I think they draw from quite a distance. It's not just a local conference or a Nebraska conference. I think people come in from all over the place. Then we also have a story up about this Stanford study that we're one of two school districts that's working with Stanford to help students evaluate news that they read, that they hear, and try to figure out, is this real?
Yeah, that's that critical thinking ability specifically about news sources is so important right now.
Yeah, so it's kind of going through some of the questions that they are forced to ask. Who's behind the information? What's the evidence? What do other sources say? And so trying to get past that whole kind of, we're going to
see it shock value.
right. Or, you know, we all do this where it's like, you know, we just read headlines. We're scrolling through the news feed and you read a headline that so often doesn't have anything to do with the story or just tangentially related. It's enough to get you to click on it, but so often we don't even do that.
Right,
we
exactly.
We just click on it or we read it. We have this instant hot take on it. And it's so funny, people, when you're reading through the comments, and so you're like, did you read the story?
Oh, yeah. You see people who still fall for the onions, like the onion or the hard
absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are like, you do know what website
you
this
won't
is.
Believe this thing. You're right. I don't believe it.
And then you're going to use this last chance to plug our communications workshop, which is next Friday.
Next Friday.
So it's Friday morning. You don't have to have like a reservation. You don't have to have signed up. Please just show up. All the information is up on the LPS website, keyword say what, and you can see all the sessions that are going on. There is something there for everybody. So if you are regarding our own staff, if you're a teacher, if you're an office professional, if you're an administrator, there's going to be something there for you to help you figure out how to better communicate with those that you are trying to communicate with. So whether that's parents, with the public, trying to do crisis control, all kinds of things. Great thing. This happens every year. At this point, I couldn't even tell you how many years we've been doing this, 7 or 8 years every summer. So please don't miss that if it's a topic that you're interested in.
Brian, I have... not every time that I come on the podcast, I'm going to pop quiz you, but I am going to one more time.
Love quizzes.
Love quizzes. Okay. When you think of school supplies, what comes to mind?
Pencils and hand sanitizer, or as we call it at home, hanitizer.
Hanitizer. That's great. Yeah. Those are kind of the, I think the classics that everyone's mind goes to. Maybe not as high on the list, double basses, trumpets, violas, cellos, flutes, everything. The district has an entire fleet of instruments that it maintains. It's a large component of the music program, a fleet of instruments for students to use. It's enough to supply all the first year orchestra and band students, and also to offer rentals to older students on an as needed basis. So most of the middle and high schools kind of maintain their own pool of instruments that they're responsible for renting and caring for. But each year, the district's collection of hundreds of string instruments in particular need to be checked in, cleaned, repaired, and stored, all by a small crew of teachers over just 2 days. So back in May, when this was going on, I talked to one of the organizers responsible for this massive yearly undertaking known as string cleaning.
Can you introduce yourself for me?
Yes, my name is Amy Holloman, and I'm a strings music itinerant, and this year I've been serving Clefcorn and Maxey Elementary strings.
So can you kind of explain where we are and what's happening around us?
Sure. Well, we are currently at Loeffler Middle School for what we call string cleaning. It's like spring cleaning, but it's cleaning of nothing but string instruments, and so we have instruments from all over the district that are basically being brought in droves to the middle school. We drop them off, we check them in through Destiny, we check them in through another system. They all get re-tagged. We ensure that the correct instrument is in the correct case because each instrument has a serial number and a identified LPS scratch number, so we have to make sure the instruments are in the correct cases. Then they all get re-tagged and labeled, cleaned, checked over for instrument repairs that need to be done. If we can do the repairs in-house, we do. If not, then we have to take them to another location, a repair shop. And then when they're ready, we take them back to the district office and reshelf them so that they are ready for checkout in August.
That sounds like a huge production.
It's a big job, and we use all of our itinerant staff for strings to do it. There's a little bit over 20, I think there's 24 of us, and we kind of serve during the times we can because several of us also serve middle school and high school assignments, so we have to be with our students during that time, but otherwise we're here working together.
Yeah. How many instruments do you think go through this process?
At least 450. That's fee waiver only. Mm-hmm. We also have a rental program where we have certain instruments that are housed at the district office for rental. It's only $50 a school year, which is a great deal.
It really is.
For parents. But I mean, we see well over 550 instruments during the 5 to 6 days that we do this process. Yes, and there are a lot of middle school teachers right now who are during all of their planned time, they're before school, they're after school, and our high school teachers, they are putting in all of this time to make sure that their string instruments are cleaned, or some teachers with the band side, they're having to do chemical baths to make sure that their brass instruments are cleaned and sterilized and ready to go for next year. And it is a very time-consuming process.
Why do you think this program is important?
I think it's extremely important because we have a continuously changing demographic across Lincoln. And we want to provide all of our students with a free and public education, and that means equal access to all activities. Not all families are able to afford an instrument for their child. I came from a family where my parents could not have afforded an instrument had we not had programs like this set up. And here I am now, a music teacher, and this is what I want to share with kids because this is how I can really give back to them. But without a program like this, there are a lot of students that wouldn't have the opportunity to be a part of this group, whether it be band, strings, our mariachi group, Pangea steel drum group. There are so many different musical opportunities out there. But providing students with access to instruments for a free cost or a reduced cost is huge in giving students so, that opportunity to be a part of those groups.
So first thing we're going to do is we've got this cello here that has been dropped off. We're taking it out of the case. And we're going to check to make sure that we have the right instrument in the correct case to make sure the serial numbers and the LPS numbers match. And it's LPS 274624. And while I read that, somebody's already writing a tag. And somebody's typing the LPS number into Destiny to check it in. And it is scratch number 227. Okay, and then we zip it back up in the case. So all of our numbers matched. So this cello is good to go. So we've re-tagged it, and now it can go in the pile to be cleaned. So for our purposes, we're going to go ahead and just go clean it right now.
Sounds great.
Okay. So we don't actually really have to totally pack it up, but we're going to go ahead and take what's left out of the case and put the cello down for a moment. And we're going to check the pockets of each case to make sure we don't have any music left or pencils or rosin crumbles in any of the pockets.
Can you explain really fast what for the audience what rosin is?
So rosin is basically, it's a composite material. What all is in rosin? Beeswax and several other additives. You put it on the bow, you rub it back and forth on the bow, and the friction creates a powder, and then the static electricity makes that stick to the hair so that it will actually make a sound, because you have to have a little stickiness, otherwise the horse hair does not make a sound on the instrument. But when you rosin a bow, you get little flakes and cracks and things like that, and it's very sticky, and it just leaves crumbs. It's kind of like, it reminds me of like cornflake crumbs, right?
Sure.
Is really what it makes me think of. So we're gonna go, and we've got this case emptied. I just pulled the bow out. We're gonna go vacuum it.
I'm gonna stand well back for this.
Animals love to sleep in the cases, so we have to make sure that we get as much cat hair and dog hair out as possible. So we're going to start off with the bow that I took out before we vacuumed the case. First of all, I'm making sure that the bow is loose, because if the bow is left tight, then the hairs can fall out, and then the bow is rendered useless unless we rehair it. And we're going to start by taking some rubbing alcohol to sterilize the parts of the bow that students hold, and to make sure that there aren't any extra rosin deposits built up, because over time, if students don't wipe their bow down, then that sticky rosin deposit builds up and the horsehair will stick to the back of the bow. So I pulled the hair away from the stick and wiped it down. Now I'm wiping down the bottom part of the bow that students hold, the adjusting screw, and the bow. I'm inspecting it. It looks like it has plenty of hair, so this bow can be reused again next year and it's ready to go. I'm going to continue with my alcohol here, and I'm going to wipe down the fingerboard and the strings to sterilize it and clean it. And I'm also checking to see, we've got a couple of, since there's no fretboard on a string instrument, we use tapes
to show where the fingers should go.
Yeah, and if there are any tapes that have moved, that are crooked, that are gummy, that don't look good, then we go ahead and take them off. So these tapes look good, but they're really crooked. They're not actually parallel to the ground here. So we're gonna go ahead and take these off, and then I'll use the alcohol to get any residue off of the fingerboard. And that's the sound of the strings as I'm wiping them down and scrubbing the stickiness off of the fingerboard here. And some of these really take some elbow grease to get some of that adhesive off. And the stickers that we use, essentially, it's car pinstriping tape is what we use. Find it at O'Reilly's or Advanced Auto Parts. And okay, so that is done.
It's pretty good.
Yep, looks good. So now I'm going to come down at the bottom. There are these little knobs down at the bottom of the instrument. We call them fine tuners. And we use them to adjust the pitch of an instrument slightly. You can hear it going down. as I'm adjusting, because what happens is generally strings tend to go flat in the winter time, and so we tighten these. Sometimes they get tightened to a point, especially if students are tuning their own instruments, they get tightened to a point like this one where they are almost like trying to open like a brand new mason jar of pickles. I mean, sometimes you got to get a extra grip with something rubber or a towel or something so you can get them started. So we've loosened all the fine tuners, but we don't want loose floppy strings. So now we're going to retune it, but I noticed that the bridge is not straight. So I'm going to scoot the bridge over. There we go. And I'm making sure that the strings are centered on the fingerboard and that the bridge is still perpendicular to the instrument. And now I can actually tune the instrument back up. Tuned enough to go back up on the shelf. We just don't want them completely untuned. Generally, if you're storing an instrument really long term, then you generally do loosen the strings, but since these are only going to be stored for about a month and a half, then we want them somewhat close, because otherwise the strings will continue to stretch and they'll be really out of tune when we go to tune them back up. So now what we're going to do is we're going to just generally look the cello over. So I'm tipping it upside down right now, carefully, and I'm inspecting the bottom of it, looking for what we call open seams. Open seams are where the body of the instrument has come apart. And if you tap, sometimes you can hear. Because sometimes the way that the varnish is, it might look like there's a seam, but if you take a piece of paper or a fingernail, it's not open at all, so that's okay. And this cello does not appear to have any cracks or open seams in it. And then we make sure that the end pin is sliding freely, which it is. So now this one is ready to polish. Okay, so now I need to get a new cloth because we want to make sure we don't use an alcohol polish or an alcohol.
On the varnish.
Yeah, on the varnish, that's right. So we use old t-shirts because they're lint-free. So I'm going to pull one out of my clean bucket here. Just old t-shirts that we've cut up, and they're the best for cleaning. Lint-free, and they get just enough friction that we can get a little elbow grease and get some of this stuff off. You know, not all kids are good about washing their hands before they play their instruments, so they're coming in from lunch or from recess time, and you get all kinds of interesting things on an instrument. So I just put some polish here, about the size of a quarter, on this piece of old t-shirt, and now I'm just going to start going over the instrument in circular motions here. And anytime I can, you can feel grime underneath. And when you find it, you just kind of dig in and scrub it, especially where there's rosin. Because if students don't wipe their instrument down after they play, then it leaves sticky rosin deposit on the instrument, which can eat away at the finish. So we want to make sure that we're scrubbing all that old rosin off, fingerprints. And we want these to look as beautiful as possible for students. Because, you know, when a student takes their instrument out for the first time, we want that. It's a really special moment. And we want them to love the instrument that they're playing before they even start to play it. So we want these to look as great as possible and be in the best playing condition as possible. So not only does it need to sound good, we want it to look good. So I'm kind of turning it now. I've gone over the sides and the back and the top. And then I'm going to go at the very, very top, the ornamental part that we call the scroll, where it kind of wraps around. And then I'm going over the pegs and conditioning the pegs here, because it's all wood, so it will dry out. And as with any good piece of wood furniture, you want to oil that once a year. That's pretty good. And then there's just one more final step that I'm going to do. And I don't do it to every instrument, only the ones that I really think need it. We've got a fingerboard conditioner. A fingerboard is the long black part that stretches a third of the instrument in length that you actually put your fingers on to change the pitch of the string.
That takes the lion's share of the grind, because it's where your fingers go.
That is right. So we've got this stuff. It's called Guitar Honey. It's a fingerboard treatment, and I just squirt it on my little sponge here. And I'm going to go up and down the length of the fingerboard. And it just conditions it, and it brightens it, and it makes it shiny. and beautiful. As I mentioned, you know, most of these instruments are all wood, so you want them to look great and condition them once a year. And a lot of this will absorb in. I've put it on pretty heavy, but I am going to take the other side of my sponge here, and I'm just going to give it a once over. But look at how nice that looks.
Oh, wow.
It almost looks like I've armor-alled the inside of a nice leather car.
Yeah.
That's how nice that looks. So, and then we have totally cleaned this instrument. And this instrument does not need any repair. It does not need any strings to be redone. If it needs strings, I'd hand it off to somebody else who would restring it. We can usually restring an instrument in just a couple minutes unless it's a bass. Basses take about, you know, 20 to 30 minutes per string to actually restring.
Wow.
It's a time-consuming process. So at this point, we can put this cello back into the case. Zip it up. Both sides. The end pin is in. I put the bow back in the case. And then the tag that we retagged it with earlier gets a black dot. And the black dot is how we know that this instrument has been cleaned. And then it goes to the other side of the stage where it will wait for our next caravan to come back and load these instruments up, take them back to the LPSDO loading dock where we'll drop them off, send them on the elevator down to the basement, and then we'll carry them back to the music library and find the coordinating spot on the shelf because they're all numerical order. So we've got another group that's already doing that right now. So this will probably go back on Monday morning.
So that's, we just took an instrument most of the way through the process. One cello took about 14 minutes.
That's about right. Yep. And we do over 500 instruments. But this is how we keep our instruments completely renovated and usable from year to year. We have instruments that date back to the 50s and the 60s that we still have in our system that we've maintained.
Cool.
Yeah, we've maintained some of these instruments for well over 50 and 60 years. It's great to share the process that we do with our colleagues and with our buildings and our schools so that they can see what a process this is and what we're doing to try and help ensure that all of our students have equal access to great quality instruments.
And that is string cleaning. So the fun thing to, I think, keep in mind with this is, she said, Amy mentioned, it's well over 500 instruments. And so kind of like the sense of scale of this is crazy. It's a whole production line of teachers taking instruments through that entire process that we saw. And in addition, that cello didn't need to be restrung. Its strings were okay to play for another year. But restringing the instrument, you know, adds another amount of time. So that took like 15 minutes for one cello. She was saying if it's a double bass, for instance, that needs to be restrung, that can take up to 2 hours. So if you think, you know, 500 instruments, 2 hours for some of them, 15 minutes for some, it's a long process.
So she took us through the entire process all by herself, but you said it was an assembly line. How many people were in this line, this instrument getting sort of handed down it?
So I think when I was there was probably around a dozen people. She mentioned at the beginning of the story, there's like 20 to 24 like itinerant string teachers who kind of work on it together, but they are working around their own class schedule. So they're set up at a base of operations at Loeffler and people swing in when they can and join the, you know, kind of production line and then leave when they need to.
One of their favorite things that I said, or favorite things that she said, was kind of towards the end. She said that we want them to love the instrument before they even begin to play it, which is so fantastic and immediately struck me as against your normal thought of like a school rental instrument.
Right, exactly.
That it's like 100 people have had this thing before. And for her to be like, but we want you to feel like, you know, not only you're the first person with this, but this thing was put together, was cleaned up. It's for you.
Yeah, they're so, it's really touching. They're like so conscientious of what it means to be able to provide kids with an instrument. So like I went through Lincoln Public Schools and learned to play cello through Lincoln Public Schools, and I can still remember, you know, 20 years later opening the case on my first rental cello from the district and being just so excited about it. And you can really like feel the love and care from the teachers and how much work they put into keeping these instruments in good condition. Like she said, some of them have been in the pool since the 50s, which is so cool to think about, like this line that just extends that far back, and how lucky we are. Like, most of those instruments actually survived the fire at the district office building a few years ago because they just happened to be stored in an offsite building that year.
Well, thank you so much for that story, Caitlin. It was so fun to listen to the audio in it. Just listening to everything sort of being scrubbed and cleaned.
Yeah,
and
it's fascinating to watch. I would really encourage you to go look at, there are some pictures from the from the process on the site, which are good both to see the scale of it, just how many instruments are involved. And there's also some really like kind of fiddly little interesting bits from the process of like instruments being repaired and scrubbed. So I would encourage you to go check those out.
Fun. LPS.org/podcast is where all of that will be. So Caitlin, thank you so much for your story and for being Mindy today.
Thank you.
Thanks. Next week, you're going to get to be me as I head out of town. And the podcast, I think, is getting recorded on Friday morning at the Say What conference. So you can come see the sausage be made, so to speak. Get to see the...
Be in the room where it happens.
That's right. Hopefully everything goes well. And thank you very much for coming next week. You can close her down here.
If there's anything that you've heard today that you would like to learn more about, there are links to everything along with links to the full calendars on our podcast page at lps.org/podcast. Also, if you would like to subscribe and get notified each Wednesday when we push out a new episode, you can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Pocket Casts, and Spotify. Links to all of those services can also be found at lps.org/podcast. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us for Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.
Bye-bye.